You know, in this world we live in today, we've heard the terms over and over again, especially over the last couple of years, that we've heard that Black Lives Matter and White Lives Matter and Police Lives Matter. And, you know, IDOT road workers, their lives matter too. We see signs everywhere. But, you know, when we do this, we're saying that some are more important than others, right? We're saying that some people are more important than others. And until we get to the point that all lives matter, then we begin to understand that we all fall short of the glory of God. You know, all of our lives do matter, but yet we are all fallen people. You know, none of us are better than one than the other. God loves me just as much as you, and just as much as the person sitting next to you this morning. He loves you just as much as the person in prison. He loves you just as much as that person that's in the back alley that's passed out from an addiction. God loves that person just as much as He does me. He loves that guy that likes to dress like a girl. Now we think that's crazy, but that's the world we live in today, right? But God loves that person just as much as He does you. He may not agree with the lifestyle or the actions, but the love is there. We talked about that love Wednesday night. A love that's like our own kids and how we treat our kids, how we pray for our kids. That why can't we pray for our neighbors in the same way? Why can't we pray for each other that way? Why can't we love each other the same way we love our kids? That's a deep love, isn't it? The problem we have is when the lives of animals are put parallel to humans and we follow the world's point of views, we've really missed the mark. And you know, we're by design created in the image of God and to conform to His ways. You know, the songs that we sing, you know, we sing many other songs too that talks about conforming to God's ways, not the world's ways. The Scripture's full of that. When common sense is thrown out the window, which I think they took it out of the dictionary, and replaced by personal preference, and there's no absolutes, we put ourselves in great danger. You know, we live in a world where people, there's no absolutes. You can do whatever you want, right? And there's no remorse for it. The degrading moral standard we have is being chiseled away all the time and more all the time when then things that are supposed to be right and things that are supposed to be wrong are so confused and so messed up that nothing, we don't understand anything at all. We have a group of people like that today. They don't know. They don't understand. They just don't know because it's been so messed up for so long. When God's word is lowered to the point of a suggestion or worse, someone's opinion, we're in danger of self-destruction. I've heard so many people say when reading the Bible, they'll say, well, I think. Boy, that's a dangerous statement. Because the Word of God is not an I think, it's what God says. Amen? The heart of a person matters is what I'm getting at this morning. The Bible tells us, and I know that to some, that doesn't mean as much, but because I don't look at the Bible as a suggestion. I don't look at the Bible any other way than being the truth. That's the way I look at the Word. What it says is what it is, right? The Word of God is the truth, and the heart of the man tells the story of where you're at. Proverbs 23:7 says this, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is." That's a pretty strong statement, isn't it? Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart of a man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, I tell you, who knows the heart of a man? And that's God Himself. God knows the heart of a man. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. He knows the heart of mankind. He knows our hearts, how they can wicked they can become without Him. Because a man's heart can become very wicked without God in it. Without God, our hearts are capable of doing horrific things, and we see it every day in the news. You watch the news all over the world, you see horrible things happening. That's what happens when you don't have God in your heart. Psalms 51:10 says, here where David is, he's broken down, and he says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." And I would ask that, how can we be like David this morning? Can we say, "Lord, search me," as we sang? Can we say, "Lord," or can we say, "God, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me"? I'm telling you, what this world needs today is a right spirit. And that right spirit comes from only one place, and that's God Himself. Amen? People, we need God. We need God in our life. We need God in our heart. We need God in our minds. We need God in our schools. We need God in our churches. It's not about our opinions or our wants and our desires unless they're all about God. Psalms 51:10, it sums it up to me. And he knew that if there was going to be a heart change in man, it had to come from God. And it's not something we can fix ourselves. We can't change ourselves. God is the one who does the changing. I myself, as a pastor, would like to change a lot of people, but I can't. Only God can do that. Amen. It's not my job. But God does tell us to pay attention to what He says. And for us, it's really a matter of paying attention to what God says, because sometimes we're deaf. Sometimes we got plugs in our ears. And we need to remove the plugs from our ears and listen to what God says. We live in such a distracted world. And you know, a few weeks ago or months ago, it seemed time flies, I preached a message about being distracted. We get so distracted in the things of this world that we lose our focus. The pleasures that we have, that we want to partake in, sometimes comes at a great cost and a great risk if you're going to follow through with those. It's like texting when driving. Some people believe that they can do it and get away with it because, you know, they're capable of texting and driving. But let me tell you, when you ask any police officer that's been on duty for very long, they will tell you that the majority of fatal accidents happen because of distracted drivers. And it's either texting or it's something else, even eating. I remember one time, and I may have told this story before, but I got to tell it again because I'll never forget it. There was a lady I was following, and I noticed her weaving back and forth. She was putting on makeup, combing her hair, driving with her knee, and eating a sandwich all at the same time. Now, it was pretty talented. I'll never forget that. I was like, what in the world is this person doing? I thought they were drunk. But no, they were late for work. Hammering down, 65 mile an hour, up 51. Makeup, McDonald's, whatever. Pretty impressive. But let me tell you, that's what happens to us. We get distracted and we have all these distractions in this world we live in, and it can separate us from God one of these days if we're not careful. A car mechanic received a repair order and it read like this: check for clunking sound when going around corners. So he took the car out on a test drive, and sure enough, whenever he went around a corner, he heard a clunking sound. So Howard quickly located the problem and returned a repair order to the service manager with a notation that said, "Remove bowling ball from the trunk." And I'm telling you this morning that we need to remove the bowling balls from the trunks of our lives. Sometimes it's so obvious. We've got all this junk going on, and the dangers are, we've got to watch out, watch our step. And we see all these signs that say, do not enter, stop. You know, there's slopes going down hills and all these warnings, you know, from these traffic signs that we have. But the Bible is full of those signs as well. It tells us not to do this and don't do this, and it's for our own good. He gives us all these signs and all these things for us to watch out for. You know, running a stop sign and saying that you didn't see it is not a good excuse. It doesn't really work. I know one day standing before God, I don't think those excuses are going to work either. Right? That's simple as that. I mean, I could quit preaching now. I'm done. You know, in the book of Proverbs, there are warning signs, and most of, you know, there's a lot to read, and sometimes we overlook a lot. They're made up of wise sayings and warnings designated to prevent you from danger, us. You know, that we need to open up our eyes and look up ahead. And, you know, for me, like I said, telling God that, well, I didn't catch that in the Bible. I didn't get that one. I forgot. I'm sorry, I missed that. I mean, is that really a great excuse? I know we have a loving, gracious God, but I wonder. Proverbs chapter 1, the purpose and theme to the chapter is gaining wisdom and instruction and doing what is right and just and fair. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise the wisdom and instruction from the Lord. That's really the theme of it. The Bible makes no apologies to get true wisdom and knowledge. It is found in God's Word. It comes strictly from the Bible. And you know, I think education is great, and I think it's good, but education's not enough. You know, head knowledge is not enough. You know, if it was, then there wouldn't be so many smart guys making dumb mistakes, right? We see it all the time. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1 and 7, if you have your Bible, but we also have it up here. He says, "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, 'Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding, and do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you.' The beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding." And if we skip over to verse 20, it says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words and do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to the one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Keep your eyes Look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. And do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. You know, the secret to God's power in your life is having the heart of God. And since, you know, we cannot have a heart for God without God's help. Get me? We need God. There are things we can do, and there's lots of things we can't do. We can realize, like David, that God has to create in us a clean heart because we in ourselves do not have a clean heart. The first thing I want to talk about is exchanging our heart. And by the world's standards, believers are hypocrites because they say one thing and do another. I've heard this so many times. People in the church. This people honor me with their lips is what the scripture says, but their heart is far from me. They say that they are seeking God, but Christianity is far more than head knowledge of Jesus. It's more than just literature written on a page. The scripture says, and you will seek me and find me, and when you search for me with all your heart. Intentionally giving God that heart that is corrupted and far from Him and allowing Him to create a new heart that desires to have the things of God working in our lives. Is that your desire this morning? Do you want God to work in your life? Then you have to seek God. True faith in God is not just a head thing, it's a heart thing. And in Romans 10, 9 through 9 and 10, chapter 10, 9 through 10, it says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe it in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with your heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's more than just head, and it's more than just heart. It's a combination of the two. You see my point? God exchanging our heart far from God with a heart that desires God. Does that make sense? We profess with our mouth, but what is truly in our heart, we believe what God has done for us, and that is our salvation. You know, people that are saved will confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Simple as that. How do you know you're saved? Because you'll confess God. You'll confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's how you know you're saved. It's hard to explain other than you know it in your heart. Amen? Amen. And what you know in your heart comes out of your mouth. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Jesus even, He said this. He said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence and blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also." It's not about just the outside. We can look like a Christian. We can walk like a Christian, but if we don't talk like one, if it doesn't come from within inside of us, it should just come out. Sometimes I think we get it backwards and we try to clean up the outside, and that doesn't clean up the heart. You know, it's not about what you wear. It's not about how you dress. It's not about all those things. It's about what's in here. God doesn't look at what's on the outside of a man. He's worried about what's on the inside of a man, because when God starts doing His mighty work on the inside, then the rest of it will just fall into place. Simple as that, right? Number two, guarding our hearts. We have to guard our hearts. What the scripture said, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. What do we need to guard our heart from? Well, let me tell you. We don't have all day, do we? And catch me at the fish fry this afternoon, and we'll talk about that, right? Man, there's so much junk in this world we live in today to guard our hearts from. Dr. Busick talked a little bit about that as well. He talked about a lady that was, she come up to him after church service one time and she says, you know, I'm praying that you won't be tempted. Because she said, I know there's a lot of beautiful ladies in our church. And he's like, that almost really offended me. Because he's like, well, I don't have a problem with that. And, you know, and he said, but then I kind of got to thinking about it, and God kind of put him in check. He said, maybe that's why I've never had any problems with that. And, you know, but we have to guard our hearts. But this lady was, we was talking about intercession, intercessory prayer Wednesday night. But, you know, we guard our hearts from those temptations. We guard our hearts with those things, right? Amen? Above all else, guard your heart. Our original heart, our unsanctified heart, we have to cleanse that unsanctified heart. Paul says, I have to die daily. I use that scripture a lot, but it has so much meaning. I could say it every day, I have to die daily. Why did Paul say that? Because he had to die daily. That's all of us have to do that. We have to get up in the morning. We have to purge ourselves of that unrighteous thinking. And we have to say, God, I need you to take control of me today. Cleanse my heart. I need that in my life. I don't want to live like the world. Everything, when we realize that everything that we do flows through the heart. That makes sense? What comes out of a man's mouth is what comes out of a man's heart. Many people think that they're saved and when they're really not. Why? Because they believe with their head that a loving God would not let anything happen to anyone when there's no heart change within inside of them. Well, you guys are quiet this morning. Many people who are saved lived in fear and never live up to the potential that God intends for them. Why? Because God has done a heart change, but their head has never allowed them to move out of the past into the present that Christ, in Christ, in other words. That goes with the head change, but no heart change. And God creates a new clean heart and transforms our minds, and we are a new creation in Christ. The heart that has been changed by God and a mind that has been brought under the captivity of Christ will be protected by the believer at all costs by the truths of God working in their lives every day. That's really what it comes down to. So many people going around with their hearts burning with the conviction of God, but their head gets in the way because they're worried about all the things in life and they're distracted about all the things in the world, the everything that's pleasurable, all the things that they want to get caught up in, and they feel the convictions of God, but their heart, their head gets in the way of them actually getting coming into a full relationship with God. Sharing your heart. How important is it to share your heart? I shared my heart Wednesday night. It's not always easy to do. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not men. There comes a time in a person's journey, and it's really different for all people, that they stop trying to find themselves and they stop trying to settle issues on their own and they begin living the life that God intended. When we find peace with God and we begin sharing the goodness of God to others instead of always being rescued, that's when we become a vessel that God can use to rescue others. Amen. I want to take hold of God's Word and make it become a part of my life. Amen? I want it to be more of my life every day and not just something I do on Sundays, not just something I do occasionally, but something that is every day in my life. That's when the heart meets the head, right? You become whole. You become part of the body. You become part of the vine. What God is showing us today is not only wisdom and knowledge, it becomes action in our lives. Are you sharing Christ with everyone that you meet? When you talk to people, do you speak as though you're speaking the Word of God, not only in your words, but in your actions? Because it's not all about what comes off our lips. It's also about just who we are as children of God. Doris asked me while I was at St. Charles if I went to the casino. I said, yeah, I lost a lot of Leanne's money. No. It's a big, beautiful building. Looked very attractive. The thought of winning some money. It's attractive, isn't it? Free food. Man, that's attractive. They give you a little card where they used to. You go in there and get you a meal. Hotels will hand them out to you, trying to get, you know, they'll bring them the hotels and give you free dinner, you know, trying to get you to come in there so you can bet money. That's what they did down in Biloxi. They always used to do that. We go down there to Biloxi. Me and Leanne went down there. I think Scott Marlena was with us that time.
Las Vegas, too.
Las Vegas, yeah, they put them in there. See, it's an incentive. It's an attraction. But no, you know, as attractive as it may be, I have to know that that's not a place where I need to be. Amen. I use that as an example, but there's lots of places like that. That's why you don't see me down at Boswell's on Saturday nights. It's not that I can't go in there for any reason or whatever. It's just it's not attractive to me any longer. It's not a place that I need to be, right? Right? There's lots of places. I mean, there's lots of things, examples I could use. We all have our salvation to live out, but our place, you know, there's a time and a need for all things. But one day, we'll all have to pay the price of our actions. We'll all have to stand before the great I Am. We'll all have to stand there and give an account for all the things that we've done. And it won't be just for the good things that we've done. It'll be for the bad things that we've done, but it won't be always for the bad things that we've done. It'll be for the good things that we've done too. What? Did you catch that? That was a mouthful, wasn't it? But see, it's not just black lives or white lives or IDOT lives or whatever lives. It's not just that. It's all of us. It's all of us that will have to stand there and say, God will say, well, what can I say about you? He has it all written in a book. Now, if you live under the blood of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, you're in a good position. Amen. That's my point. We need to live under the blood of Christ. Most importantly, we need to live under the blood of Christ. One of the most important things that Jesus ever said when he left, he told his disciples, now go, teach, baptize, right? Teaching them to obey all that I've taught you. Really, that's, to me, the most important part of it. So, share your heart. Tell others about what God has done for you. Put your faith into action. You know, faith without action's dead. So, I want to leave you with that. What do you say this morning? You know your heart. You and God know who you are. And that's where you settle it all. You don't settle it with me. You don't settle it with your wife or your kids. You settle it with God. And all the rest of it will come into place. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you. Lord, I hope the words that came out of my mouth this morning, every one of them was your anointed word. And Lord, I know that with your words, Lord, it falls upon our hearts, and Lord, it grows. Lord, I humble myself to you today, Lord. Lord, I thank you for all the blessings that you've given me in my life. Lord, I praise you for this church. I thank you for everything, Lord. I don't regret one moment when I knelt down and gave my life to you. Lord, I pray that you keep us safe. Lord, as we leave here, we do not leave you behind. Lord, we take you. Lord, help us to be good and faithful stewards of your word, and help us to share the gospel with everyone, Lord. Lord, I praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.